Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, February the 9th. And today we're going to catch up with our good friend, Alan Wall. We're going to go and check out U.S.-Mexico issues, as we like to do with Alan from time to time. Alan was in Mexico for the holidays. He wrote an article over at mexidata.info, which is where he writes about Mexico. He also has a website called alanwall.info, and you can get his articles in both of those websites, and we have links to them on the show information. We're going to talk about now President Trump. I think this is the first time, it is in fact the first time that we've spoken with Alan about President Trump. Before it was candidate Trump or even President-elect Trump, but now it's President Trump and Mexico, and we'll get his thoughts on what's going on with that. We'll get his thoughts on President Peña Nieto, who is obviously dealing with a lot of problems in Mexico, gasoline prices, opposition to President Peña Nieto. So there's a lot to get into as we look at U.S.-Mexico relations in 2017. This is going to be, I think, an important year to set the tone for these two relations. I have a post, hopefully it'll be available Friday morning, where I talk about U.S.-Mexico 2017, where I argue that there'll be things happening in other areas like the border, immigration, but I don't see a lot happening in the area of NAFTA. I have a funny feeling that's not going to change that much, and that's because I think both sides are actually doing fairly well. I was with some Mexican gentlemen today who were talking, telling me about this, and they were basically saying the same thing. You know, there's some people in Mexico who don't like it, but there's a lot of people in Mexico who like NAFTA. So I just think at the end of the day, they're not going to change much. But let's say hello here to our friend Alan Wall. How are you, Alan?
Well, fine, thank you. It's great to be back with you, I guess, for the first time this year, and enjoy being on the show again.
Well, it's always a great pleasure to have you. Always enjoy talking about Mexico with you because you are so, your articles at Mexidata and the other stuff that you write is extremely interesting. Well, I got a couple of things I wanted to say before we get to Mexico. I feel very disappointed with what happened today with this, I guess, with the Ninth Court in the West Coast, basically going against President Trump on this travel ban. I hope that it will eventually be reversed, as so many things of that court tend to get reversed. But I think we're in trouble when judges are second-guessing the president on foreign policy, Alan. I just think that's a bad idea. Well, what do you think about it?
Well, yes, I agree. And it just shows you the power that our federal judiciary has. And, of course, it looks like Trump is he's going to fight it maybe all the way to the Supreme Court. And so this is really something to watch.
I agree, and I think that politically it may actually help President Trump because for a lot of people, myself included, I just think this is a case of judges going a bit, you know, I always like to say that the job of a judge is to call balls and strikes, not to redo the strike zone. And you kind of get the feeling here
exactly
that the judges are redoing the strike zone for whatever reason. Now, the other thing I wanted to bring up before we get to Mexico is that on this day, 53 years ago tonight, the Beatles were on the Ed Sullivan Show. It was their first appearance on American television. Neither one of us remembers that night, or at least, you know, having watched it. But I've seen a lot of the videos, and it was really electric. I mean, I can understand, Alan, why it has such an impact on the country. They were really, really fun to watch that night, Alan.
Oh yes, and you know, just in that era, they were really exciting, and especially when you consider, you know, what other groups were like at the time. I think they really took everybody by storm, and it's amazing how quick they picked up in the United States and became so popular so rapidly.
I agree. I mean, in 30 days, they went from being totally unknown to having the number one song and the number one album and being on top of the charts. You're exactly right. It was like winning the lottery. Well, let's talk a little bit about Mexico. And I wanted to begin, maybe if you could share with us some of your impressions when, before we get into some of the specifics, some of your impressions from your trip to Mexico over the holidays, Alan.
Well, we had our usual Christmas trip to Mexico. It went well. We had a good time, you know, met relatives and had a lot of great things happen. I was always, you know, I'm really interested in seeing what they say about Trump and what they say about the immigration. And this was, of course, this was right before Trump, you know, was inaugurated. We got back early January, but it's on people's minds there, and the media constantly discusses Trump. And I also saw, I've been watching at the border, station. I've seen this. They've remodeled the border station, and they have this repatriation section, which is to take back Mexicans who, you know, are either deported or self-deport or, you know, voluntarily return. And I saw, you know, various stations there that were designed to receive them. And I thought that was very interesting. And there were already some people that were there, you know, that was even before Trump was president. And apparently some people just took advantage of the Christmas vacation to just go on back to Mexico. And there were reports of that in, you know, several parts of the border.
Interesting. Yeah, I read that in your article. Now, the other big thing that happened when you were down there was the gasoline prices. I think it was effective the 1st of January. They just exploded all of a sudden. I don't know exactly how much they went up, but they went up at least in Mexico City, maybe not in other parts, but at least in Mexico City, they went up a great deal. There were protests. Which, you know, interesting, one of my Mexican friends said to me in Facebook that the protests were sort of counterproductive, not just because they, you know, they create traffic jams, but because people were burning more gasoline by sitting in these traffic jams.
Oh, in the protests.
So he was saying, you know, I'm burning more gasoline watching protests than if I was able to get home. So in that sense, but yesterday and today, I was with some gentlemen who were here from Mexico for a special conference, and it was a religious conference, and since I'm involved with the Knights of Columbus, which is the men's club in the Catholic Church, we offered to take care of some of these priests who were here, so we drove them, and I kind of gave them a little tour of Dallas, Dallas Cowboy Stadium is something they all want to check out. So I spent a little time with
them.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot of fun. And then I spent a little time with them today talking about, you know, the politics of Mexico. And I heard something from one of these gentlemen. He has a parish in a small town outside of Mexico City. And he said, you know, maybe this will actually be good for us because there will be more of a sense that we have to be more self-reliant, that we need to – you know, learn more how to give people opportunities in Mexico so that we don't assume they're going to leave the country for better opportunities. That was a very interesting thought, and that's a pretty serious guy, so I'm sure he's not the only one who's thinking that way, Alan.
Oh, yes, that's right, and others have expressed that, and I've thought something similar because for so many years, you know, the Mexican society, they've just taken it for granted. You know, just constant exportation of the people. And, of course, now there's a lot of reports that say that now that you've got a net return to Mexico, and a lot of the people crossing the border now are not even Mexicans, they're Central Americans. So I think maybe, the time is right to, change some of these policies and maybe change the way that they look at them.
Yeah. Well, they were telling me that there's now a lot of talk in Mexico about buying things made in Mexico, that for a while there, you know, they went from one extreme to the other, I guess. Before NAFTA, it was very difficult to buy anything imported. And then over the last 20 years or so, Mexico was flooded with imports. And now there's a movement saying, well, we want to buy things made in Mexico because it's almost like make Mexico great again. arguments, you know, sort of similar to what Trump is saying up here. And it's interesting to hear that. I mean, if that is in fact what happens, then Trump may turn out to be the best thing that ever happened to Mexico. But again, it's too early to tell.
Yes, and you know, reflecting on that, it is amazing how a few decades ago that the Mexican government was so protectionist, and now they've gone very far in the other extreme. Like for example, to give a trivial example, my wife talks about how when she was young, candy from the United States, you know, like Snickers bars and things like that, it was a big novelty because almost nobody had it. So relatives who would come from the United States would bring back Snickers bars, things like that. Oh, wow, that's really a novelty. But now they're all over the place, you know, where I go. And of course, Mexico has their own candies and chocolate bars. There's one I really like called a Carlos Quinto. But now it seems that you've got the Snickers and the American brands just all over the place. And so maybe, you know, this movement is to try to, you know, get back some of the, you know, the share of the market for the Mexican products. And, you know, we can understand that. We can understand that point of view.
Absolutely. I think there's also a counter reaction to Trump. A lot of Mexicans have taken very personally what he said. And I think there's almost like a counter reaction of saying, well, if that's how you feel about us, you know, this is how we feel about you, and buying Mexican products is, I mean, we're seeing a little bit of that up here. You know, you have people up here saying you should buy American. So, you know, at the end of the day, this may actually be good for both sides, where both sides maybe appreciate their economies and their workers more. These gentlemen that I was with today were saying that the countryside, el campo, as they like to call it, in Mexico, has really been devastated by NAFTA, because they're basically bringing in all these agricultural imports from the United States. Now, this is great for Texas farmers, of course, but it's not that good for the local farmers. So they were saying there's a lot of opposition to NAFTA in Mexico, Alan, and you've brought this up before many times.
Oh, yes, there's a very strong, you know, in certain circles, certain parts of the country, certain sectors of the economy, there is still opposition to NAFTA. And so that is going to be, it's ironic, though, isn't it, that you have Americans that say NAFTA is bad for the United States, you have Mexicans that say it's bad for Mexico. I guess it depends a lot on, you know, which sector of the economy you're in and things like that, because there's winners and losers in on both sides. But it's ironic that, you know, the same trade pact could excite such different reactions from different people.
Yeah, you're right. And when it comes to agriculture, for example, they complain about agricultural products down there. But yet, agriculture is one of the biggest exports to Mexico from up here. So there's a lot of people up
right.
here who are very happy with NAFTA, because we're sending a lot of stuff down. And I suppose the people who criticize NAFTA up here are those who criticize the fact that manufacturing has gone down to Mexico. But how much that is, I don't know. But we're still selling them, Alan, $250 billion a year of goods. That's a lot of money to be. That is a lot of money to be, and to put that at risk is something that I would think a lot of businesses would oppose any kind of a trade war. I do. I don't believe in a trade war, but so that's what I'm saying. That I think when it's all said and done, I don't think NAFTA is going to be as big of an issue between the two countries as other things. In fact, in this article that I'm hoping will be published tomorrow, I argue that we should focus on building the wall, because I think that actually helps Mexico by making it more difficult for the cartels to go south with weapons and cash. We should get more help on immigration, for sure. But I think we should just kind of let NAFTA just go away a little bit and worry more about the deficit with China, which is $367 billion, my goodness. That's a deficit we should be worried about, Alan.
Yes, and I look forward to your article, and I hope that your prediction is correct, because you know, besides the economies are so linked together, like I understand that a lot of these factories in Mexico actually they put together parts that are sent from the United States. So you might have some products going back and forth, you know, before they're even completed their manufacturing process. So it's hard to untangle if you just wanted to just say, no, we can't do this anymore. That's much easier said than done. It affects a lot of sectors of the economy.
And today when I was having lunch with these two gentlemen from Mexico, we started talking about the price of gasoline. And then they reminded me, something I knew, but they brought it up first, that half of the gasoline they put in their automobiles in Mexico is actually refined up here. Well, that's another bit of big business. Big sales. I mean, for U.S. refineries in Houston and Louisiana who are refining this gasoline, that's a big business for them, Alan.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And of course, we've talked about the whole energy issue. That's a big, you know, a big problem the way that's been handled in Mexico. And this gasoline also, you know, which when we were there, it hadn't quite kicked in where we were, but they were already talking about it. And I read about places where there was actually gas shortages, you know, and they wouldn't even be selling gas for a while, things like that. I think, though, that's a result of this energy policy that they've had for decades, because the bottom line is that the Mexican government, that they don't really want to let go of that sector, because it's a source of income for them. And so it's hard for them to let go, you know, even though they talk about, you know, liberalizing it and everything, it's just hard to let go.
Well, one of the gentlemen that I was with today, when we were talking about Pemex, and I said that I didn't think Pemex was I didn't think Pemex was an energy company, that it had other objectives. And he looked at me and he said, yeah, you're right. He called it La Caja Chiquita del Gobierno. I mean, he sort of
yes,
called it the small,
I've heard that
the
too,
cash,
yeah.
Yeah, like the cashier, you know, the small cashier for the, it's almost like having the government has the president and the federal government in Mexico has like an extra source of income outside of the budget that they can use for whatever political purpose. I found that very interesting, because I always felt that way, but was a bit, you know, a little timid, you know, to say it to a Mexican. So the fact that a Mexican would say it, I thought,
right,
you know, was kind of cool to hear it actually from them. Well, let me bring up the topic of Peña Nieto. To me, it's amazing how he has just melted, if I could use that, melted politically. He came out of the midterms fairly well. He had some efforts to reform in his first couple of years. I thought he was actually doing fairly well. And now it just seems like over the last year, he has just collapsed. Any reaction? I mean, what do you think has happened to him? Is he a bad politician, or is he just unlucky? Or what do you think it is, Alan?
Well, I think part of it's the timing, because if you look at, you know, they have these long terms, 6-year terms. So if you look at the first half of his term, he and his administration, they accomplished a lot, you know, the various reforms. And but if you look at the second half, a lot of things are catching up with him, like, you know, the security problem on, you know, like the murder rate was up this year, and these economic problems, and now dealing with the U.S. election, et cetera. And plus, next year is the next election. So now he's got to think about not his own reelection, of course, but because he can't be reelected. But I'm sure that the, you know, his fellow party members are saying, okay, you know, you better do what you can to make our party look good. And that's pretty hard, you know, given his very low approval ratings.
Right.
So
it's interesting.
You know, he's kind of a lame duck already, seems like.
Yes, and if you look at the last few elections in Mexico, starting with Vicente Fox and Cedillo and Calderon, Cedillo first, then Vicente Fox, Calderon, and now Peña Nieto, they've all been plurality presidents. I mean, it's been a long time since a Mexican president has actually even gotten the 50%. You know, Calderon, I think it was 36%. So, you know, the country's, from what I can see, very divided. And then you have all these political parties that, you know, it seems like there's like 20 political parties, it looks like. Yeah. And so that makes it more difficult to govern. But when you were down there, did you hear about any candidate that seemed to be emerging as a potential president, or at least a potential serious candidate for president?
Well, the polls that I've, you know, the report of the polling I've seen, it looks like López Obrador is doing better. Now, also another candidate is the wife of Calderón. She's often mentioned as a possible candidate. And, of course, you know, there's people in the government that are often mentioned as possible candidates. But it's looking like AMLO, you know, who ran the last two times, he's looking pretty strong, too. And there, you know, might be other people emerge, too. I think it's really going to be interesting to watch how it turns out.
Well, you know, López Obrador came within a percentage point, I think, of winning in 2006 against Calderon, and I don't remember how well
squeaker.
He did. And I don't know. I don't remember 2012 real well how he came out, but he, I think, could be. It's still a year and a half away, but he could be the beneficiary of this, you know, nasty relationship with Trump. But on the other hand, I will say something at López Obrador. I don't know him real well. I just hear what people say. They tell me that when he was the mayor of Mexico City, that this guy was very pragmatic, that he was not really ideological at all, that a lot of people were afraid that he would be a man of the left, and he turned out to be a very pragmatic mayor of Mexico City. And I'm sure people in the audience, I'm sure you know this, Alan, but some of the audience may not know that the mayor of Mexico City is like the second most important person in the country, because that's a huge, you know, that's a huge job. But he, from what I understand, turned out to be pragmatic. So he might, if elected president, turns out to be pragmatic. But the campaign he's going to run is going to be very much of a populist, almost a Bernie Sanders kind of campaign, Alan.
Oh, yes, I think that's true. And he's going to be slamming pretty hard on these issues, and it's going to, and depending on who his opponents are too, you know, who the other parties put up, it's going to be very inflammatory. Yes,
it could be very exciting. It could be very loud, as they say. And I suppose there's a lot of things that could happen that are still unknown that could happen between now and then. Well, let me take a little break, and then when we come back, I'll ask you one more question about Mexico. I kind of want to know if there was anything in this last trip that surprised you either way. So I wanted to ask you about that. But we're going to take a little break, and we'll be back with our friend Alan right after this. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we have a few minutes left here with our friend Alan Wall. As I say, we have a link to Alan's website on the show information, as well as Mexidata, where he writes, mexidata.info, where he writes as well, usually once a week or once every 2 weeks. Alan, in this trip that you took to Mexico, was there anything that I don't know, surprised you either way? Anything that you said, wow, that's different from the last time? Not necessarily about politics, but just in general. Anything that you thought was really interesting?
Well, the weather, where we were, the weather was very, very nice. It was not, it was really just, it's usually colder, but it was very nice and really just perfect, you know, not too cold, not too hot. And that was really nice for us. And of course we, you know, did the usual things. You know, there's certain things that we usually do around Christmas time, and there's the various Christmas customs, and I enjoy, you know, actually being there in Christmas. When I lived in Mexico, we would come here for Christmas. Now we live here, we go there, and it's always it's always fun to be there. Yes.
Well, I would second that, because I spent 3 or 4 Christmases in Mexico, and you're exactly right. They are, it's a very nice time of the season. Now, I lived in Mexico City when I lived in Mexico, and what was fun about Christmas in Mexico City was everybody left the city. So there was no traffic.
Oh,
yeah.
You
could see the volcanoes. And the it was a delight. The city was a delight, especially for if you wanted to go sightseeing, museums, and all that kind of stuff. It was a delight because there was no traffic. Everybody was out of town. I don't know how many people leave, but it almost seems like half of the city leaves. It's amazing.
Well, that
so
was very convenient.
No traffic.
Yes.
There's no traffic. You can look out the window. You see the volcanoes and the mountains that you couldn't see the rest of the time because of the pollution, but you could at Christmas time. So in that respect. But what about, I always ask you this every year, what about the roads? I mean, people are telling me about all these super highways. I have not seen them, but they tell me about these amazing tollways that they've built. Was that your experience?
Oh yes, and that's we take a lot of toll roads. Of course, they're a little steep, but the highways are very well kept up and very, you know, very very nice, very very good traveling. And so that's what we usually take. They're considered, you know, safer, and they're also faster. And so that's what we took, those toll roads.
And what's the speed limit? I remember. Not the toll roads, but a lot of the roads in Mexico were 90 kilometers, which is like 55 or 60, I guess, miles. What's the speed limit
you know,
in these?
I can't even – I'll have to check next time. I can't even recall, because I don't even notice that much, because I know I always have to – you know, if I see that, then I have to convert to miles, you know, mentally, and can't really recall. But the thing about it is – when we go at Christmas time, you know, when we go back in the United States, sometimes we have to wait a long time at the border. And this time we did also, you know, because a lot of Mexicans go there and they return. And so depending on when we hit the border, we may be there for several hours.
That's what people tell me. And that was one of the reasons that I never liked, to come home or to come back to the United States at Christmas time. I guess you can always fly, but it's very expensive. So that's why
yes.
We didn't like to drive back at Christmas time, because the delays at the border at Christmas time are absolutely, I mean, sometimes you're there, as you say, for almost an hour to cross, sometimes
yeah,
longer. And
oh,
that
we've
takes
had
a lot
couple
out of
times
it.
Like, yeah, yeah, we've had a few around, you know, 10 to 12 hours. This time it was just 4 hours, so it wasn't too bad.
Well, you know, when you've got kids asking you, are we there yet? And you're sitting in one of these
yeah.
jams, it can wear you out
yeah.
a little bit. It's like, you know, you can kind of say, you know, please don't ask me again how close, or when are we going to, I mean, it's like it can really test your patience, if you will. As a parent,
yes.
Just sitting there, you can't move. Well, Alan, as always, thank you so much. Always enjoy your articles so much. Talk a little bit about your website, alanwall.info.
Yes, my website is really it's a place to park my articles, because I write for several websites that usually don't have a common readership. So I like to have one place where I put the links, and so if anyone's interested, I can direct that person to alanwall.info. It's not com, or it's info, I-N-F-O. And I got that idea from MexiData. That's the same,
right?
The same one they have, MexiData.info.
Yeah, well, now you have .com, you've got .net, you've got .info, so it seems like it's like phone numbers. I guess they're running out of they're running out
yes,
of possibilities.
That's what it seems like.
So
yeah.
you got all these other options. Well, thank you as always for joining us. It's always great. Keep up the great work, and I'm sure we'll call on you again for another update about Mexico, Alan.
Oh well, thank you very much. I'll
well, give my
to
best
later.
To your family. Yeah, give my best to your family, and we'll talk to you later. Thank you very much, Alan.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, Alan Wall. Alan Wall, as I said, we have a link to his website, alanwall.info. That's where, as he was saying, he parks all of his different articles because, as Alan was saying, he writes for different audiences and different websites. But the articles that about Mexico are featured on his website as well as originally they're printed at, well, I guess printed is not what you say anymore. They're posted at mexidata.info. And that is also a great website. Mr. Bernard Thompson has put together a great website about Mexico. And I check it every Monday. I check it every Monday and a couple of other times too. To see what's going on. They have great articles by a lot of different people. Alan, of course, is one of the ones we like a great deal. And there's others who write about Mexico and about issues, maybe more national issues of Mexico, but still very interesting. They give you a lot of the background of what is happening in that very exciting country of Mexico. As I say, I hope that my NAFTA article is available Friday morning. And in this article, I make the case that I think NAFTA is not going to be the big issue between President Trump and Mexico. I think that it's getting a lot of attention, but I think at the end of the day, that's not going to be the big deal. It's going to be more immigration and border issues, where I think both countries have a real interest here. Mexico has a real interest in doing something about the border, and that border wall may end up being more beneficial to Mexico, I think, that we hear in the media. There's a tendency, I know in Mexico, there's a tendency to get very angry about the wall. But when you really talk to Mexicans and you say, look, you know, this wall is actually going to help you because it's going to keep some of these bad people from bringing down weapons and guns, they begin to get a little bit more receptive to the wall. I think part of the problem is the way that President Trump talked about it, that Mexico was going to pay for it and all that kind of thing. I think that had a lot to do, frankly, with why I think the wall was so controversial. But actually, if you're logical about it and you think about it, the wall could be very beneficial to Mexico as well. Well, thank you very much for listening. Again, our thanks to Alan for joining us tonight. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. We'll be right back.